Blog Talk Radio.
There in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. Spoke words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, God, Divinus, Jedei, Shul, and Benaiah. All these had married foreign women, and some of the women had even born children. Nehemiah, chapter 1. Words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews.
The Bible book. Sunday church. On the Bible book. Stay tuned with a great sermon upcoming.
Who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. All of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there.
The Bible book. Currently on Bible book. Readings. We will go to the sermon.
And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, or about 12 o'clock noon. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I'm a Samaritan woman? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you'd have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so I'll not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw. This is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible of people who are hopeless and helpless. Don't have any way to turn. There's nothing good about it. Now, I want you to look at this woman for a moment and see what hopelessness is all about. And what can happen in a person's life when they become hopeless? Sometimes people are hopeless because of what they've done, because of the way they've lived, because of decisions that they've made. Then sometimes it's not always that person's fault. And so when I think about this woman, I'm going to give you a little description of her. Number one, she'd been married 5 times. And she was living in an adulterous situation, immoral situation, with the man she was living with at that particular time. And, of course, having been married five times, she had suffered a lot of difficulty and hardship with these first five men, or they would have still been there. She must have been a pretty good-looking gal to have attracted five men. And so there she was. And one of the problems, though, is that she had endured terrible rejection from the community. She had been married five times in a small community. She was the talk of the community. There was nothing they could say good about her. What kind of woman is this who has been married five times and divorced, and now she decided just to live with this guy and not even be married to him? And so she seemed to have been trapped by this insatiable sexual desire to have her needs met or to meet somebody else's needs. She was emotionally empty. Be married five times, nothing works emotionally. So she was empty and seemingly failed to meet the needs of these lovers of hers, and so she felt very morally dirty. You ever felt that way? Am I talking to somebody who feels morally dirty? Because of decisions that you've made in your life, you feel dirty spiritually. You feel dirty emotionally. You could be in a situation just as badly as she was. You've tried it all and nothing worked. You've been there and it didn't make any difference. You've been loved by this one and loved by that one and hated by this one and hated by the other and used by all of them. And nothing satisfies you. You don't have anywhere to go. All of your goals and dreams have been shattered. The truth is, you don't have anything to hope for. At this point in your life, your sinfulness, your disobedience, or your rebellion, you turned off God a long time ago. So where are you in life? You're lost. It's dark, dingy, dismal. There you are. It's like being in a swamp, emotionally. There's nothing there that is attractive. So you've sort of given up. Given up to what? Given up why? Given up when? Those are the things you have to think about. I think there are many women today and men who have no hope. This is the reason some people commit crime. They can't see any hope of doing anything. At least in prison, you can have friends. At least in prison, you got three meals a day and a place to eat, and you can even watch TV. A lot of people who are very, very hopeless. We're living in a time when more people are hopeless. This is why they cross borders. This is why they do anything to find a little hope and a little help. And even that doesn't work. And so this is where she was at this point. Then the personal encounter with Jesus Christ radically changed her life. It's radically changing people's lives today. And so when you think about who she was and what was going on in her life, at this particular point, she's coming to the well. It's all water for the day, but she's coming at noontime, which was not the right time. She came at noontime because the women didn't want to be around and they ostracized her. And it just made her feel worse to try to be there when everybody else was there. So in the middle of the day, here she comes for water. And strangely, this man is sitting there, sending his disciples into town to buy food. And looking at him and knowing that he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan, she was shocked when he said, "Give me a drink of water." Their response was, "What do you mean, give you a drink of water? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans do not have anything to do with each other, and you certainly wouldn't expect me to draw your water for you." And Jesus, in his quiet and loving way, began a conversation with her. And all of a sudden, she realized that the barrier is coming down within her, because the barrier was there. First of all, she's talking to a man alone. That in itself was enough. The fact that he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan, all of those barriers were coming down. She couldn't tell you why. She just knew that there was something about him that attracted her that had nothing to do with what usually attracted her, something physical. And she began to listen. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. That's what started the conversation. And he said to her, you give me a drink and I'll give you a drink of living water. And so Jesus began to talk with her and they began to chat. And so Jesus distinguished between this well water and the other water that he was talking about. And so she enthusiastically asked him for it. And so when he had described it, the woman said to him, sir, listen to that. She addressed him, sir, give me this water. I'll not be thirsty nor come all the way here again. Then Jesus said to him that sort of disrupted the conversation because everything was moving right along and he was talking about living water. And then all of a sudden he said, tell your husband. That's terrible. And so called your husband. And she told him, so she said, I don't have a husband. He said, watch this. You're correct. You don't. But you have had five. And you're living with a man now who is not your husband. But watch how he said that. He did not condemn her. He said,
yeah,
you're right. You don't have one, but you're living with one who is not your husband. Notice how Jesus came, not by criticizing her, but by simply asking her a question. And so what he's doing, he's leading her to realize where she is emotionally, where she is physically, where she is spiritually. Now, what she did is what a lot of people do today. You start talking to them about the Lord, all of a sudden they want to change the subject. So if you'll notice what happens when she said that, the woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Then she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that, and then she changed the subject. She wants to start talking about worship. Jesus didn't want to talk about that. He didn't give her a little explanation here and there. But he said, I want to tell you about my water. My water is, he said, my water is living water. And she said, he said here, whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Springing up into eternal life. Sir, give me this water. Springing up, listen, not just water, but springing. This water springs up into eternal life. And he had her attention, absolutely. As they began to talk, and he said to her, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so then he comes back. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to me. Then Jesus said to her, I'm the one you're looking for. I am the Messiah. Can you imagine what she must have thought? First of all, she wanted that. She approached this man to hate him because he was a Jew. In this conversation, because he accepted her and loved her, waited for her to come to the right conclusion. He said to her, I who speak to you am he. About this time, the disciples come. They come back and they're surprised because he's talking to this woman, and which no rabbi, as we say, would possibly be talking to one. And especially her. Of all people, he wouldn't be talking to her. But it's interesting what the scripture says, that they didn't say to him, what are you doing talking to her? Why do you speak to this woman? So in the process, scripture says, all of a sudden, she left her water pot. Now, the Bible is so perfect about the words that writer used, because it's interesting here. Scripture says she left it. She was no longer interested in a water pot. He had done something to her life all of a sudden like she had never felt before, because why would she accept him so quickly? She accepted him so quickly because when he approached her, he didn't condemn her. But you would have. He did not criticize her. He saw something within her that made her see something within him. some strange reason, she felt accepted by him. Some strange reason, she saw something in him that she'd never seen in a man before. All of a sudden, she felt love for the first time from any man. And so, when his disciples came, she left their water pot and took off running. Where did she go? She went to the one place that you wouldn't expect her to go. She went to the very people who despised her, rejected her, criticized her, shunned her, shut her out of their lives. Notice what the scripture says. From the city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and so he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. We've heard after ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.